Jesus is known for being a great leader. But he's more than just a great leader, isn't he? The Bible says he's more than just a prophet. He's more than just a wise man. He's more than just a weatherman who can say, be calm, at peace to a storm of rain and clouds and wind. Only the Son of God can do those things. And Jesus is being a great leader. He wants to lead us somewhere. A great leader. It cannot be a great leader unless he's leading people somewhere. And actually, he says he's the shepherd, and we are the sheep. He's calling us from danger to a place of safety. I gave you a picture last week of a house that is on fire. Imagine this. You wake up in the middle of the night, you look outside your window, and you see a house next door or across the street is completely involved in fire. So you said, oh my goodness, does my neighbor know that his house is on fire? It's 2 o'clock in the morning. So what do? You start knocking on the door and you say, hey, wake up, your house is on fire. Where do you want them to go is from a place that's danger that they can be killed to a place where there is no heat or smoke outside, a place of safety. You're trying to lead them outside to a better place. And that's exactly what Jesus is doing, or what he did when he came to this earth 2,000 years ago. He called people to a place of danger and punishment and penalty because of sin. And we all sin. We've all fallen short of the glory of God. You say, well, I've only told a little lie. It doesn't matter. You told a lie. I've only stolen a little bit. It doesn't matter. You've stolen. It's not the degree. It is just the fact of sin that leads you to death. See, people, we say, you know, I'm not as bad as that guy. Oh, I may be bad, but I'm not as bad as some people. That's not how God looks at us. God looks at us in the measuring stick that he's going to use is Jesus Christ. And we're all guilty. Doesn't matter if you wear a suit or you wear gloves to go to work. Everybody is equal at the foot of the cross. We have to understand that. So as God, Jesus, calls people, can you imagine? Who did he go to? Did he go to the kings? Did he go to the religious leaders, the teachers, the lawyers of his day? You know who he went to? Ordinary people. Fishermen. Doesn't get it more ordinary than a fisherman. Tax collectors. You know what a tax collector is back in the day? Is a traitor working for the Roman government, taking money from the Jews, from his people, and pocketing some on the side before he gives it. He calls sinners to himself, to a place of danger, into a place of safety. Now, let me ask you this. What did Jesus do when he was here on earth besides call people? Besides, you know, he says he saw a fisherman, he says, come follow me. And these people would follow him. But what else did he do?
He healed and he taught.
He healed people.
Cured
diseases, healed demon-possessed people, right? He taught them. He taught them. What did he teach them about?
God the Father.
He taught them about the kingdom of God, the Father, right? He in fact is that king, and he's restoring that kingdom. And so we've been looking at that. Now, let me ask you. There's people that are lame, can't walk. They've been sitting around and outside the temple gates and around the marketplace, right? People are blind. People are deaf. People are demon-possessed, right? He's calling everybody. But once they heard the call, how do they then, how can a blind man see where Jesus is going. How can the man who does not have strength in his legs, he can't even get up, let alone to walk and follow him? What had to be done? What did Jesus do before these people can follow him? Because the answer is, that's exactly what he's doing today. He needs to do something first before we can follow. Is that what had to be done? He had to do a work of healing that only God can do. Do you see that? Before a layman can get up, before a blind man can see the truth, before a deaf man can hear the preaching about the gospel, the good news of the kingdom, they had to be healed first. See, society, the world will tell us, man, all you gotta do is be good, and then you can follow Jesus. That's not what the Bible teaches. The Bible says that we are spiritually, we're dead. We're bankrupt. We have nothing to give. We can't even have strength of our own to get up every day and do what's right. Say, well, I've done a lot of right things. I might not be a very good guy, but I've done a lot of good things. Yeah, but the difference is when you did it for yourself. So other people will think that you're a great guy. And that's still, if you do the right thing with the wrong reasons, the wrong motivation, it's still wrong. Is that selfishness? Do you see that? So what had to happen first? Well, first, Jesus had to open their eyes, and then they can see. See, the world will tell you, seeing is believing. That's not what the Bible says. The world will tell you, I'm not going to believe until I can see. And that seeing is understanding, right? You know when people say, try to explain something to somebody, and this is how it works, this is how you change the oil in your car, this is how you change a light bulb, this is how... And they say, oh, I see, right? Oh, what are they saying? Well, they can still see before you started talking. But when they say is, oh, I understand now, right? So the world tells you seeing is believing. Understanding first is believing. That's not what Jesus says. You know what Jesus said to Nicodemus on John chapter 3? Here's what it says. This man, Nicodemus, came to Jesus at night because he didn't want anybody to see him, right? Jesus replied in chapter 3 of verse 3. He says, truly I tell you, unless someone is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. It's not seeing is believing. Believe first. Believe first, and then you will see. Then you will understand. Then you will see the truth and know the truth. Well, go back to the other question. How do a blind man can see? They have to be able to be healed first, miraculously. And you know what? That healing is available. Jesus, the problem is sin. Jesus came to die and pay for the sins of the world. Sin has been paid for. Why are still people living in sin? Why are still people going to hell, dying and going to hell? It's because forgiveness is now available. They just haven't received it. If I tell you that this pick right here is a magical pick, and this pick will make you $1 million, all you have to do is pick up any guitar at all, and you strum it with this pick, and you will strum a guitar or play a guitar like the best guitar player in the world, concert guitarist or anything, that this is a magical pick. It was worth $1 million or so. When does it become yours? You can have it. When does it become yours? Here you go, Robert. When does it become yours? When see what's happening here. This is as spiritual as it gets. Henry, when does this become yours? No? Well, yeah, you believe, but when does it become yours? Here you go. When he actually reached out and take it. See, same thing with healing, same thing with forgiveness, same thing with salvation. It becomes yours when you reach out. And you say, well, I believe it. I believe that's $1 million, but you just turn around and walk away. It doesn't become yours. See, same thing with healing. Healing is available. The problem is sin. Forgiveness has been paid for. And forgiveness is available because sin has been paid for by the blood. And you say, power. I need power. I need power to resist my own habits, my own addiction, my own temptation, my own anger, my own greed. I need power. And Jesus is saying, I have power. I want to give it to you. But when does it become yours? When you reach out and take it. And that takes faith. You're not going to reach out unless you believe that it's true. See, Jesus pulls a little child and sets him in the middle, this big meeting. Little child, maybe a 6-7 years old. And children are, to us, they're precious today. Oh, look at that little child. But to them, to their culture, a little child is the weakest of the weak. Always making a mess. Can't work on the field, right? Can't work, can't climb, put up, build things, and doesn't move very fast. Jesus puts him in the middle and tells all these people around and says, unless you become like a little child, then you will never see the kingdom of God. What is he saying? What is what is so special about little children? A little children, what's that?
Innocence.
Their innocence, right?
Easy to follow.
But little child, you tell them, don't touch that stove, it is hot. And they go, all right, I won't touch it, it's hot. You tell that to an adult. You say, don't touch that stove, it is hot. And they say, how hot is it? Right? How hot are we talking about? Now, a little child can be foolish. And God doesn't want us to be foolish. But God wants us to have a faith like a little child. A little child, you tell him something and you're saying, hey son, we're rich. And they go, okay, we're rich. Until he asks you for something and you can't give it, right? You go, oh, well, I don't know. You know what I'm saying? A little child, you tell them something. You tell them that God loves them and they will believe it. You tell that to an adult will say, yeah, but if he loves me, then why am I here? Or why am I in? Why am I in? Or you tell them, hey, God loves you. That he died on the cross for you. Actually, Romans 5:8 says, God proves his love for you and for me that while we are still sinners, Christ died for us. Right? An adult will say, yeah, Reese, but you don't know what I've done. How can God love me when I've done this and that and this and that and this? See, you're just saying that because you don't know who I am and what it is I've done. I don't know who you are and what it is you've done. But God knows who you are, and he knows what you've done. He says in his word, he proves his own. People go, prove it. Prove how he loves me. The Bible says, look at the cross. Look at the cross. That is how I loved you. I gave my life for you. So go back to the second question. You hear, we're talking about the call of God. And he wants to call us from a place where there is purpose and usefulness from a place of meaninglessness and aimlessness in our lives. He wants to take us to a place of life and liberty and freedom from a place of sin and death and punishment. He wants to call us to a place of hope and peace where we are in always worrying and always in turmoil, always warring against our habits or ourselves. He wants to bring us to a place of healing from a place of weakness. And we read in Philippians chapter 2, verse 13, we read that earlier. He says, for it is God. It is God who is working in you both to will and to work according to his good purpose. See, before that lame person can get up, before that blind man can see, before they can heal, God's work has to be done first. And the work of God that is necessary to pay for your sin is already done. The cross. For it is God who is working in you. See, God worked for you on the cross. God is working in you right now, changing you, wants to change you, wants to heal you, wants to give you power, wants to give you strength to get over your whatever it is that's hanging you up. Whether it's booze or women or gambling or money or greed or whatever or lying or anger, he wants to work in you. Why? Why does he want you to stop? Because he knows that that's going to hurt you. That's not for you. He loves you so much, he doesn't want you to get hurt. He's working in you. He's working in me. Okay? So God worked for us. Now he's working in us. Why? Because he has work for you. He's not me, man. Not me. You don't know what I've done. I can't. What kind of work does God have for me? He wants to use you. He saved you. He's working in you to change you. He wants to use you to bring others to him. Just like he's using me. Just like to talk to you today. See, I have nothing to give you in myself. You're just being humble, Reese. No, really. I'm bankrupt. I have nothing to give. I can't bless you with my fancy words or my guitar playing or my singing or my cooking. Doesn't work. You might be able to give a little bit of fill right here. Get a little bit of fill right here. Get a little bit flutter in your heart. Oh, I feel good about that Bible study. But if God is not in it, you'll just go away just like a kid who wants a toy, and finally got a toy, right? And then 3 days later, it's just junk to him. It's just in a pile of old toys. But the Bible says it is God who is working in you. What kind of work is you doing? Both to will and to work according to his good purpose. He's got a purpose. See, I don't have a purpose in my life. The world does not have a purpose for you. The world just actually thinks that if you're in some kind of social healthcare, so you're just a parasite that's draining the world's resources. You know, the world just says, "Oh yeah, you know, just as long as you don't hurt anybody, you're okay." But there's no purpose. But God has a purpose. One of the things that is the worst thing is to have no purpose. What's your purpose? I don't know. I guess I'm just going to make myself happy. Well, how are you going to do that? I don't know. I got some money. Maybe I'll buy some booze. I got some money. Maybe I'll buy some drugs. I got some money. Maybe I'll get a prostitute. I got some money. Maybe I'll buy some pornography magazine. I got some money. Maybe I'll... No purpose. But God says he's got a good purpose. So how does he fulfill that purpose? He's working in you to will and to work and to do. That work is do. So first he has to change the way you think. But first, how you will something, how you want something. Well, I want a lot of things, Reese. Yeah, you want a lot of things because you want to feel good because you don't feel good. You don't know your purpose. You don't know that you're loved. You don't know that you're special. You don't know that you were once created in the image and likeness of God. You have, and your purpose is to bring glory and honor to him and to have dominion. To rule as a king, like he is a king. So he changes your will. See, psychologists today, that if you say, you know, you go out to a psychologist and say, I need help because I'm doing a lot of bad things. Well, like what? Well, I hurt myself, I cut myself,
You ever met people who do that? There's are. I cut myself. I hurt myself. I go places where I don't want to go. I look at things I don't want to look at. I say things that I really don't want to say. So I need help. A psychologist knows if you want to change the action, guess what you need to do first? You have to change the way they think up here. If you change the way they think, a person thinks, here and here and here and here, you can change their actions. So when the Bible says it is God who is working in you, both to will and to work according to his good purpose, he means it. So let's look at the other one. It says in Philippians 1:6, it says, I am sure of this, that he who started a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Jesus Christ. See, a lot of you don't realize this, but God has already started a work in you long before you even walk into that door. How? What are you talking about, Reese? He has spoken to your heart, maybe in private, and you're alone, or maybe even when you're in the middle of your sin with a friend, with a girlfriend, with a boyfriend, whatever, or with some family. He started a work in you already. What is that kind of work? He's showing you that you need him, that your life is meaningless, purposelessness, and chaos, and struggle without him in your life. And you say, no, God didn't come looking for me, I came looking for God. It's not what the Bible says. How can a blind man start looking for God? Forget being blind and deaf and lame, can't walk for a little while. The Bible describes you and me as spiritually dead in Christ. We are spiritually dead. How can a dead man hear? How can a dead man get up? No, I have life. I have a beating heart. Really, Jesus said, I have come that you might have life and have it more abundant. He said that to a group of people that has beating hearts inside their chest. He's not talking about physical life. He's talking about spiritual life. And you have none until Jesus heals you out of death into life. It's available, but you have to make a conscious choice and effort to do it, to receive it, just like you reach out and you receive that pick. I don't know who needs today here to hear this. Don't. I wish I do. I told Adrian, I have a completely different notes. I work hard on this. But maybe God is speaking to your heart and is saying, before I can follow, I first need to be healed. And before I can be healed, I need to reach out in faith and trust in God. See, not just here. The problem is we're just so, I know Jesus, I believe Jesus. That's not enough, man. It's just one ear and out the other. It's not going to do you any good. You need to take that faith, that belief, and move it from here to here. Just transfer that thing. Because the Bible says out of what's inside your heart, the mouth speaks. Whatever is inside here, the body moves. God has something more for you. He is calling you, just like he's called all those people from. We've been talking about 18 verses, how God is calling. You know, one of the things that's amazing things to me, there's a story in the Bible when Peter, San Pedro, right? He's a fisherman. He's been watching Jesus go around the Sea of Galilee and the shore from his boat. He's hearing, he's watching things getting done, and one day he's fishing, and he has caught nothing. All night he worked, he's caught nothing. And Jesus says, hey, Peter, you're nothing in your net, huh? Nope, no fish. Can you imagine that? I like to fish. But people who, you know, you get back from fishing, they know you've been fishing, and you caught nothing. Sometimes I catch nothing. And then they ask you, hey, Reese, how's it, how'd it go today? What, did you catch anything? No. Right? That's probably where a good place to catch things. But Jesus says, have you caught anything? He said, no. Jesus says, why don't you do this? Why don't you throw your net on the other side of the boat? Jesus is talking to an expert fisherman, Peter. It's the middle of the day. He's been working at night. Expert fisherman knows the fish doesn't gather around by the shore, and certainly not during the day when it's hot. They want to go into the deep water, right? Where they can be cool. But you know what Peter did? Peter did what Jesus told him. He had to first believe that Jesus may know what he's talking about. And he did. He threw that net on the other side of the boat. And the Bible says he caught so much fish, he needed some friends to help pick him up, pick up the net. You familiar with that story? You know what Peter said after that? Peter said, Lord, get away from me. A sinful man. Can you imagine? What if Jesus did what Peter asked him to do? Peter says he realized that Jesus is the Son of God, that he is holy, and looking at Jesus, he himself, Peter, realized his own sinfulness right at that time. And he said, get away from me, Lord, because I am a sinful man. Sometimes, even though salvation and help and healing is available, people, out of their pride or because they don't think very much of themselves, tells God, get away from me, because I have nothing to offer you. And Jesus says, from now on, Peter, I will make you fishers of men. I have a new job for you, Peter. I have a new purpose for your life. You're not just going to be working to catch fish to feed yourself and your family or whatever. I have a better job for you. And if you believe me, if you put your faith and trust in me, I will provide for you. I know what you need. Jesus is going to come. The Bible says, he who started a good work in you will carry it on to completion. He will be faithful to complete it. He will see it all the way to the end. But what did we say? It takes faith. It takes that step to do that. Without it, God cannot do the work that he has in your life or the purpose in your life. Can you imagine? You know what? The Bible says Jesus one day was walking around in his town of Galilee, kind of close to where he grew up around Nazareth. The Bible says that he could not do much miracles there because of their unbelief, because of their lack of faith, because they did not believe. Can you imagine? People say, is there anything that God cannot do? I mean, God can do anything. He's powerful. Is there anything God cannot do? A little girl says, if you don't let him, he's not going to do it. See, he's not going to twist your arm. He's not that kind of God. You know what I mean? when somebody just says, oh, you need to go clean your room, and it just gives you, you need to, you know, take a shower. Okay. That's not the kind of God he is. He's not going to, you know what I mean? He's not going to take your will and force you to do something you don't want. He wants it. It's available for you, but he's not going to force you to be healed. You have to go to the doctor yourself. And it takes faith to do that, that the doctor can, you know, believing that the doctor can actually help you. I don't know how many of you just need to just let go and let God do what he wants to do in you. It takes surrender. See, a lot of people, they call themselves Christian. They have added Jesus on to their life, but Jesus just doesn't want to be added on. He wants to be the center, the focus of your life. Because if you don't, then you'll just, the world is already full of hypocritical Christians. You know what I mean? Who just, oh. It's like going over there and say, whoa, I like the rice. I like the meat. Meat's good, yeah. But there's a little bit of cake. I can have dessert or I can let go of dessert. But I need the rice. I need the chicken. I need the pork. That's what people like to do sometimes with Jesus. He's just a dessert Jesus. Take it or leave it. Oh, if I want Jesus, I have to put him on. I don't want any Jesus today. Thank you. That's not the kind of relationship Jesus wants. He is King. He is God. He is Creator. You know what you and I should do? We should bow to a King. It says, whatever it is, Lord, whatever. Whatever you want from me. I'm dead. You give me life. Okay. I was blind, you give me sight, okay. I was lame, I can't walk, but now you've given me strength. Okay, what is it what you would have me to do, Lord? That's the proper response. Anything else is improper. Amen? So how do you go away? How do you finish a talk like this? I'll give you an opportunity to respond. I cannot save you. Only Jesus can do that. But Jesus, he said on Revelation, behold, I stand at the door and knock. Let me read that to you. It's on Revelation chapter 3, verse 20. Here's what it says. Chapter 3, verse 20. It's on page 1630, 1630. See, Jesus is calling. That's what we've been talking about. Next week, we're going to talk about Christianity is not for the faint-hearted. that's the name of, that's the title of my talk supposedly today. It's a completely different talk. Next week, we're going to talk about Christianity is not for the faint-hearted. Not for the weak. It says on chapter 3, verse 20, this is Jesus talking. By the way, in this Bible, when you see it red, it's Jesus talking. The red letter Bible. It says, see, watch, understand, hear. I stand at the door and knock. I'm knocking. I'm standing at the door. Which door? The door of your heart. The door of your life. He says, if anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in to him and eat with him and he with me. See, Jesus is calling. He's standing at the door of your heart and your life knocking. He's calling. Will you please let me in? I want to change you. I want to give you healing. I want to give you purpose. I want to give you peace. I want to give you strength. If you open the door and allow him, he will come in. People go, wait, but my house is a mess. I haven't washed my clothes. There's things on the floor. Jesus, I don't care about that. I already know about that. You don't have to hide that stuff from me. I already know you're a mess. That's why I'm here. Jesus came to seek and to save the lost people. I want to help you clean up. People, see, the world says clean up first, then you can start following Jesus. That's not what the Bible says. God proves his love for you and me that while we are still sinners, while you're still sinning, while you're still doing the things that hurts yourself and hurting others and hurting God, he has died on the cross for you. That is the good news. Now you have, the question is, are you going to open the door and let him come in? You can just say, you know what? I got it. I'm going to do my own thing. I'm just going to keep doing it. I'm going to try harder. That's not the Bible way. People says, what can I do? What should I do? What should I do? What I got to do? Jesus says, it is done. It's done. All you got to do is reach out by faith and take it. Now, faith means you also have to walk. If you believe that the house is on fire, it will do you no good to stay inside the house. You have to walk out of the house. Amen? And God will give you the strength to do that. But you have to believe in him. Let's pray. Father in heaven.